Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Those are the words spoken at the start of the soap opera, Days of Our Lives, since it began on November 8, 1965. And those words are spoken as we watch the sand go down from the top to the bottom of that hourglass. Days of Our Lives is still on today, over 60 years later, and the opening is really quite telling. I don't know about you, but growing up, I was kind of mesmerized by watching that show come on and seeing that hourglass and that sand filtering through. An hourglass is useful if it helps you watch your time, and they were actually used on ships where the measurement of equal hours was necessary for calculating how far they had traveled, and sand-filled hourglasses could be suspended and mostly unaffected by the motion of the ocean. But hourglasses are not very useful if all you're doing is watching the sand, right? By the time the sand runs out, what happens? You realize you didn't get a whole lot done. You simply watched the sand move from the top to the bottom, and you can't get it back. All those moments are gone. And then there are moments you might have caught. Then there are other moments you might have had caught had you not been wasting your time just watching the sand drain down from top to bottom. Today we're going to talk about time and offering our time unto God. Time is a valuable commodity. It really is. The Greeks understood that truth. In fact, they had two words for time. One word was chronos. That's the word for sequential time or chronological time. It's time in minutes and seconds and so forth. The second word for time is kairos. It's used for a window of time or the right time or an opportune time. It has to do with a period of time that opens itself up to one's needs and makes the most of it when it does. The problem is that we don't operate on kairos time. We primarily operate on chronos time, of scheduling our days out, of making plans and appointments, of recognizing that we have calendars everywhere and we manage our life based on a calendar. But when we do that, we often miss the kairos moments. We only have so much chronos time, but we have even fewer kairos moments. Our key question today becomes this: how do I best use my time to serve God? How do I offer my time to God? And there are two key passages we're going to consider, and one of those is Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, which says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." There is a second passage I want to supplement that passage from Colossians with, and the second passage is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 16, where Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Friends, being a follower of Jesus Christ should change our priorities, and it should change how we use and gift our time. How are we using our time day in and day out? Simply put, our calendars have to be redeemed not long after our souls have been redeemed. And that's why Paul says that we're to wake up and to pay attention to how we're living our life. Look carefully, he says, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. There are two ways to live, as wise and unwise. And it comes down to time. Are we offering God our time? And to redeem the time means we're going to look for those kairos moments. We're going to look for those kairos moments, and we're going to make the best use of them. You know, I think Jesus understood that, and his disciples began to understand that too as they watched the Master. Because every miracle of Jesus was a kairos moment. Every life-changing encounter that Jesus seemed to have was a kairos moment. They were opportunities. And as Jesus followers, we are to be on the watch for those kairos moments, those opportunities, those seasons God has for us. And when they come, what does Paul say? He says, redeem them. Redeem those times, those kairos moments. Make the best use of them. Take advantage of them. But oh boy, do we seem to miss them far too often. When we let our chronos time get filled up with a never-ending array of work and meetings and schedules and getting the kids here or doing this here or doing that there, we can miss those kairos moments. We get swallowed up with the busyness and the pursuits that won't last beyond the grave. If we don't, quote, look carefully how we walk, it's very easy for us to lead a very wasted life. We'll watch the last particle of sand fall in the hourglass of our life and realize that we did not make the most of our time. So the challenge becomes, how do we snatch up those kairos moments? How do we become more aware of those seasons of life that God has blessed us with, those opportune times that He gives to us? For our 18th week of Believe, we're focusing on this practice of offering our time to God. And the first point we want to make this morning is simply this. We need to recognize that we all have the same amount of time. That's our first point today. We all have the same amount of time. Most of us consider Monday morning to sort of be the start of a new week. And when we start another, then we start another week over again, the next Monday morning. The rotation of the clock continues for us all. And it's quite an interesting fact about time is that we are all given the same exact amount of it, 168 hours in a week. We all have the same amount of time. And so how are we going to steward that time? How are we going to use that time? Because we all get the same amount. We have no choice. You can't buy or barter for more time. You can't take less time. You're all given the same amount of hours. We do have the choice, though, of how we're going to use each hour. And for this reason, time becomes a precious commodity. Here is what I've learned, and I think many of you have learned as well. The older we get, the more precious we recognize time is. We realize how precious time is. Offering someone your time is often the greatest gift outside of Jesus Christ that you can give them. For 9 months just before coming to McKenna Grove in 2022, I served as a chaplain in a nursing home 2 days a week. And for 8 hours a day, I would visit among the residents there. And some of those residents would go weeks, if not months, before any outside visitor would come to see them. But as a chaplain, I was coming to see them every week or every 2 weeks. And I didn't come to preach to them. I didn't come to just simply teach them or preach to them. I simply came to offer my time. I talked about whatever they wanted to talk about. Sometimes it was how bad the Phillies were doing, or you know, sometimes it was about their family or that they missed and hadn't heard from, or sometimes it was about the food and how terrible it was there, those kinds of things. Whatever they wanted to talk about, I simply offered my time. I offered them the gift of my time and a listening heart, and for many, that's all they really needed. That's all they really needed. They had the same amount of time in their week as I did, but they didn't have the same opportunities. Many were confined to their rooms. Many were isolated from connection with others. Most were lonely, longing for someone, anyone, to give them a little time. And here is what I've learned from that experience. These people are all around us. You don't have to go to a nursing home to find them. They're all around us, and we don't have to look too far to find them. And the greatest gift outside of Jesus Christ that we can give to them is the gift of our time. And that's why Paul says, wake up, pay attention to how you are living your life. Redeem your time, he says. One of the ways we redeem our time is by offering our time, recognizing that it is a precious commodity. We cannot barter for more of it. We only have so much time. And so when we offer our time, we are offering something very, very precious. There's a second point we need to make that Paul is getting at in these verses. And the point is this, we need to steward our time as we would any other resource. We need to steward our time just as we would our finances or just as we would our talents and abilities. We have to steward our time as well. Back in week 9 of Believe, we talked about stewardship, and we often think of, you know, money and possessions and those kinds of things. But as believers, we need to steward time as well. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The Bible teaches in many places about how we are to use our time. In Colossians 3:17, one of our key verses for today, is particularly helpful for reminding us that our daily schedule should look different. Different now, since we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, than prior to that. Whatever you do, Paul says, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, Jesus' new life in us should change our priorities and how we view this gift of time. Simply put, our calendars need to be redeemed not long after our very souls. Why would anyone else want to spend their day off helping a widow down the street with repairs on her house? Why would anyone assist a single mom by watching her kids while she goes to buy groceries? Why else would anyone want to mentor an at-risk student once a week? Why else would anyone want to volunteer in the church nursery? These are but a few examples of what giving time back to the Lord looks like. This is how we steward our time, how we bless someone else with our time. Stewardship of our time suggests that we are constantly monitoring how we are investing this precious commodity of time that God has given to us. How are we investing it? How are we utilizing it? And there's no greater example of this than Jesus. If you think about it, think about Jesus for a moment. He never hurried anywhere. Never hurried anywhere. He was never rushed. He never ran anywhere. His life wasn't scheduled to the hilt like ours was. He redeemed his time by faithfully stewarding his years of ministry. A few months ago, I read a book entitled The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by Pastor John Mark Comer. And boy, it was an eye-opener. It was all about how rushed and hurried we are when God wants us to be still and to know that He is God. Jesus was never rushed. He was never rushed. When he heard that his dear friend Lazarus was sick unto death, what did he do? Did he rush to his side? No, he actually waited 2 more days before going to see him. We need to steward our time just as we do our finances. If God has redeemed your soul, may he redeem your calendar, your schedule as well. And our final point today is simply this. Let God work in all your time. Let God work in all your time. That's what Colossians 3 passage is all about. You have to look for windows of opportunity to redeem the time. We need to look at let God work in all our time. That means parents, you only have a limited time to influence your kids towards Christ. The sand is running out. That means Christian, you only have a limited time to love your neighbor. The sand is running out. That means worker, you only have a limited number of lunch opportunities or casual chats where someone might be opening up to you so that they can find God. The sand is running out. That means for all of us, we only have a limited amount of time where we can make an impact, and the sand continues to run out. It's been said that only 25 million of America's 343 million residents are going to church. Think about that. 25 million out of 343 million. The devil is snatching every opportunity to take our focus off of God. And as a result, what happens? Christianity is losing its influence. We are losing our salt and our light in this world. And when it comes to time, we need to be vigilant in redeeming the time. Why do we need to be vigilant? Because Paul says the days are evil. And they sure are. Police officers are being shot. Stores are being robbed. People are being mistreated. When opportunities come up in the midst to do good in the midst of evil, we have to be alert and to make the best use of them. We need to seek out those kairos moments where we can indeed be salt and light in the world. So friends, let me ask you, are you offering your time to God? Are you redeeming the time because the days are evil? Are you stewarding well God's gift of time to you? Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Let me suggest three applications from this message today. First of all, let's be more aware of those kairos moments. Let's be more attuned to those kairos moments, those opportune times, those perfect times, those opportunities God has for us. And allow God to use interruptions in your life. Don't be ruled by the schedule. Don't allow the day, the hour, and the minute to control your life. Be open to those God moments when you are interrupted or where silence has broken into your loud and busy world. It might just be a kairos moment where God is seeking not only to bless you, but to bless someone else. Second, don't be afraid to wait. Don't be afraid to wait. In reading about the book about hurry, one of the great insights was how important it is that when God calls us to wait. So is there something you're waiting upon right now? We don't like to wait. We don't like waiting at all. But God can move and speak and encourage us even in our waiting. Is there something you're anxious for? Is there something you just can't wait to see happen? Or is there some news you're afraid to hear? Let God work in your time of waiting. And finally, do a daily evaluation of how you redeemed the time each day. When you put your head to the pillow at night, ask yourself, did I truly let God work in all my time today? Take a good look at how you are living, how you're spending your time, and consider your ways. Do your priorities match God's priorities? If not, you can do something about that with God's help. Who are you living for? Who are you working for? Are you living for yourself, for your own success and recognition? Or are you living for the glory of God? The Apostle Paul said, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So ask yourself each day, did I redeem the gift of time today for the glory of God? Did I redeem the gift of time for the glory of God? Let me close with this story. A man had been working very long hours for quite some time, and one evening he came home late again, exhausted to find his 5-year-old son waiting up for him. "Daddy, can I ask you a question?" the boy said. "Sure, I guess. What is it?" he replied. "Well, how much money do you make in an hour?" Well, he was tired and irritated, and he snapped, "What makes you ask such a thing?" And the son asked her, I just need to know. Please tell me, how much do you make in an hour?" "Well, I make $20 an hour," he said. Looking up toward his father, the boy asked, "Daddy, may I borrow $10, please?" Well, the father was now furious. "If the only reason you wanted to know how much money I make is just so you can go buy a toy or some other nonsense, then you march yourself straight up to your room and you go to bed. I work long, hard hours every day, and I don't have time for this right now." The little boy went quietly to his room and shut the door. After a bit, the dad calmed down and began to think he may have been a little bit too hard on his son. So maybe he really did need the $10 for some good reason. So he went to the door of his little boy's room. The dad asked, "Are you asleep, son?" "No, Daddy, I'm awake," he replied. "Well, I've been thinking," the dad said. "I've been thinking maybe I was a little too hard on you earlier. You know, it's been a long day, and I took out my frustrations on you. Here's $10. What do you need it for?" The little boy sat straight up. "Oh, thank you, Daddy." Reaching under his pillow, he pulled out some crumpled bills he had saved from his allowance. "Why do you want more money?" he said. "If you already had some," the father asked, about to get irritated again. And the son slowly counted out his money and then, looking up at his dad, said, "Because I didn't have enough, but I do now, Daddy. I have $20 now. Can I buy an hour of your time? I miss you." Now that story tugs at the heartstrings. I get that. But it does encourage us to evaluate our priorities of time each and every day. We cannot help but be thankful and grateful for our Heavenly Father who gives us His undivided attention all the time. And here is a son who's trying to buy the undivided attention of his father. So what are our priorities? How are we using our time? How are we redeeming our time in these days that seem so evil? The psalmist David reminds us of the fragility of life and the importance of using our time wisely. In Psalm 39, verses 4 to 7. Listen to David's words. These are powerful. He says, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth, without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." Friends, I hope your hope is in the Lord today. I really do. I hope that your hope is in the Lord today. Are you redeeming the time because the days are evil? Are you offering your time to God each and every day? How many of you have ever responded to someone who asked for a bit of your time by saying, "Sure, my time is your time"? Let that be our response to Jesus every day. Let's offer our time to God each day. Why? Because what we believe matters, and what we practice matters too. And when it comes to our time, how we steward God's gift of time to us matters. To the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today that we can be reminded of this precious gift of time. We thank you for affording us time to be used in your service, to bless others, Lord. And so help us to look for those kairos moments, those opportune times where you are seeking to bless us and perhaps someone else. May we offer our time to you each and every day as we seek to be a blessing to others. So thank you for the challenge today. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you that you have indeed gifted us with this wonderful blessing of time to be used for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.